Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, everyone. Yes, it is I. And welcome back to the third year now of the F4L headquarters. I am your host with the most and your guest of honor, I guess, or your maid, I guess you're the host and the, I guess, the proprietor here of the F4L headquarters. I am the host, Sean Jazz Stevens, the original F4L, one of the founders of the F4L, and recognized as the leader of the F4L. So I guess no one better to lead the F4L headquarters than yours truly. Okay, everyone, it has been quite some time since I've had a show. And, you know, I got to be honest with you guys. I had a lot of stuff going on, a lot of great projects, a lot of various different things, getting pulled around in all directions, trying to get everything ready for the YouTube show. Which things are starting to simmer down on that end. I had to do a lot of other things. You know, I don't even remember the last time I came on to do a show. But I can tell you that, you know, in the last few years since I started this podcast, but, before I go into that, I just want to explain a little bit why. No, let's not do that. Let's talk about the amazing year we had last year, and up until, you know, I took a little bit of a hiatus from doing the show. One, I had to focus on rebuilding everything for the YouTube show, our YouTube wrestling show, which is, you know, already hopefully getting well. What I had originally hoped to do is have weekly episodes on, you know, certain nights of the week, and that is going to happen. As far as scheduling goes, that's kind of, we're kind of having some conflicts there, some technical difficulties. I have two amazing co-hosts, one on Tuesday. Of course, we all met him one time before, a former guest here at the F4L headquarters. JoJo, the model Sebastian, has been helping me out on Tuesday nights with the JoJo in Jazz's Wrestling Extravaganza show. We've had two episodes. The first episode was up, and unfortunately, technical difficulties. We had to pull that, and the new episode for that, so technically episode two, will be out this coming Tuesday for that one. And also, everything accordingly will be starting as of Monday this coming week. So starting Monday, you will see the Monday show updates. Monday, of course, is our rocking roster kind of a thing. It's our rocking icons. Of course, the champion on Monday night is the Beast. Well, Mason the Beast Stritzel is the champion on Monday nights. He is the F4L Icon. He's the F4L Icon, Dream Masters F4L Icon champion. The Women's Rock and Roll Champion is also on that roster. And the secondary title for that is the Rock and Roll Championship. I got to let you guys know, we had a lot of great stuff happen already. And I'm very excited to have you guys, bring you guys up to speed on that in our next edition of that show coming up this coming Monday, as in tomorrow. I'm currently editing right now season two, the episode of two. So that'll be out on Tuesday. So you guys will have something to watch on Tuesday night, the alternative to the alternative of wrestling. Of course, Wednesday, I'm actually reached out and I'm going to have hopefully another person who made a cameo appearance here on the podcast. I asked him to come in and help out with some storytelling. He's going to help me out with some storylines. I'm going to reach out to him shortly too to kind of get that thing started and help him kind of help him with the storylines and kind of show him how to, you know, format scripts and so forth, which he has a pretty good foundation for anyway. So we're going to go fine tune some of that. And of course, my host on Friday nights, you know what? And I'm really bummed, too. We did record it already. Of course, that is the prodigy himself, Jackson R. Scott, who was on. We did record the Friday edition show. Unfortunately, technical issues. Again, it's a work in progress, folks, but we're getting there. And because we're all professionals and everything like that, we will get that out to you guys as soon as possible. And Jackson was a trooper. JoJo's been a trooper. And both of them have been a joy to work with. So it'll be great once everything's on track. And then I'm also looking for a co-host for both Wednesdays and on Mondays, someone who's able to kind of commit to those things. So those who are listening who are interested in learning how to format a YouTube wrestling show from someone who formatted an actual wrestling show not long ago, and the art of, you know, commentary and whatnot, please reach out to me at my regular email here for the show at wow, DreamMatches, @gmail.com. Okay. But, you know, we've had an amazing, you know, up to last year, we had an amazing, you know, group of people. We had some amazing, talented people already, Dream Masters and Women Warriors of Wrestling, so to speak. And, you know, one of the things I really had to think about is there still room for this kind of a show? When I started this podcast a little while ago, it was actually 2020. And I can tell you, in fact, when it was. It was actually a year ago to this week that I began doing this podcast. And the reason I started doing this podcast is because I was just tired of hearing all the negativity in the world and hearing about how life is terrible. Of course, we're talking about 2020 when most people had to stay at home and couldn't do a lot of things. And we're talking about the distancing thing and having to spend quality time with the people who you're immediately involved with in your home. And for me, it just gave me an opportunity to sit, to work from home and see and get to watch all these amazing, talented people out there. And that's when I realized these people are characters of their own. And when I was trying to think of what to do next for the Dream Matcher show on the YouTube show, I said, how about I build these real life people and feature them on there? These are people who I believe people should be paying attention to, people who I think will be doing big things someday. So, of course, that's what I did. I reached out to several of them, and long story short, if you guys watch our show regularly, people like the Stritzels, the Odells, the Duchess Lana King, the Mina Boys, JoJo, the Model Sebastian, Jackson R. Scott, Minty, Okay, Thank You. The list goes kind of on with that. Of all of the people who have reached out and have really appreciated and embraced the whole movement, Tony Fitness and JoJo, the bodybuilder, also, you know, prominent members of that that kind of thing, Jaden Brooks, Connor Bolts, you know, just so many talented people out there. And there's many more out there. Of course, the talented, multi-talented Michael Fishman, star of The Conners and, you know, Roseanne before that, now doing it and also doing his own stuff. What an amazing human he is. And still takes a lot of time out to talk to, you know, regular people, which is awesome. And, you know, I think, you know, people like him and a lot of other people, I like to kind of, you know, raise the spotlight on them, people, give them a little bit of praise once in a while, because I don't think they're, as respected or as known as they should. And as far as the rising stars, like the future, you know, UFC champions that are in the making, and the future actresses and the future people to sell out Madison Square Garden to a record selling crowd, whether it be music, dance or whatnot. That's kind of what the focus of this show is to kind of feature those people, talk about those people, talk about the things that I have done in the various industries that, you know, maybe could give some tips on how to go about certain things, talk about different life kind of experiences that can kind of get you guys through some hard times, learning about, you know, yourself and learning about the positivity and realizing who your real friends are versus the people who are just around you. These are all very vital and important lessons that we all need. And that's kind of when I said, you know, I had to first ask my wife, and I asked her, I said, hey, you know, do you think I should, you know, do this podcast thing? Because one of the reasons I was hesitant to do so is because, truth be told, she had a podcast years before. She had the Squared Circle Cafe. She and her friends, JC and Jeremy, the host of the Squared Circle Cafe, and that was a wrestling podcast. And I was fortunate enough to be a guest on there many years ago. In fact, it was the same podcast which I broke the internet and made history as I, on air, asked my wife to marry me officially on her show. So if you ever guys you want to go back and any of those romantic types out there, you want to listen to that show, go find the Squared Circle Cafe podcast. I believe it's pretty much anywhere that podcasts are being heard. It's also on iTunes, and you can listen to you can listen to me asking my wife. It was in August of, it was in August of 2014, because I was at the Monster Mania convention in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, and I was calling in as a guest. And I had asked her to marry me while as a guest on her show, so it was kind of a big thing, and yeah, it was pretty awesome. So years later, officially we're married and all that stuff, all that fun stuff. Even though we were together for many years before that, we officially united as of that time. So awesome stuff. So these are the kind of the stories that I, you know, want to share with you guys, the positive things in life. And it goes to show you there's good things in life. Yeah, things aren't always as peachy. Things aren't always great. I think it's important to realize, yeah, everyone has struggles. Everyone has ups and downs. Everyone has bad days. Things happen in life we don't understand. Bad things happen all the time. This is a cliche that is said many times. It's underrated as a saying because it's very true. You know, when people ask, you know, why did so-and-so die? You know, before so-and-so, why do people get sick? Why is it war? Why are these viruses? Well, honestly, the wars are there because people just don't live the F4 lifestyle. And that's kind of what another reason I do this show is to kind of promote and talk about what the F4L is and kind of maybe change a little bit, maybe try to make the world a better place by kind of, you know, teaching what the F4L does. Living the F4L way, which is, you know, living every day with love, care, compassion, understanding, respect for each other's differences. When you live that way every single day, I really don't see why war would possibly be a thing. In fact, I would have to say I don't think it would be a thing at all. So that's kind of how the show started. And the reason I'm kicking the things off with this, with the backstory, is because this episode here is kind of the kickoff of our all-new 2020 season, really. This is kind of a season three, I guess, premiere episode right now you're listening to. So I guess that's something. And I had wondered, you know, should I continue doing this? Are people listening? You know, it's funny, the rhythms and so forth, it tells me that people are listening, but, you know, you got to do the, you know, like this and follow that. And it doesn't reflect that, but trust me, I know people listen around the world and I see the numbers and I'm glad that we're reaching an audience all around the world. And that's why the F4L is awesome. That's why the people are awesome. And that's why we're here to entertain, inspire, educate, whatnot. So that being said, you know, that's a long kind of intro and the welcome back to the F4L headquarters. And again, I am your host, Sean Jazz Stevens. And, you know, I guess a lot of people, when they kick their seasons off, sometimes they look back upon, you know, past things or whatever, you know, but what I'm going to do instead is just thank everyone for the early parts who have, you know, taken time out of their schedules to be guests on the show. The very first guest I had on the show was Michael Fishman. As busy as he is, directing and acting and everything else that he's doing, being an awesome dad and being, you know, kind of an activist kind of a thing and doing so much amazing work, Michael Fishman was, he took the time out not once but twice to be a guest on this podcast. So I'm really grateful to people like him, JoJo the model Sebastian has come on the show, JoJo the bodybuilder has been on the show, Jaden Brooks. These are all people who are rising in the fitness and the modeling world of things. And as far as music go, I had an old person I had worked in the film industry years ago who's now went into music. I had Christian Goodwin on the show, which I'm going to have a follow-up and maybe bring him back on this year and see how the music thing's going. Of course, we had Walker Campbell on the show recently, just before we went on hiatus, and he's a very talented young man, right, going places in the music industry, and there's a lot of other people also who are yet to come on here, but we'll get there. And just everyone else who's been part of the show, I want to say sincerely thank you. The Mina Boys taking time out, Henry coming on the show talking about, you know, the, you know, what it means to do the jujitsu thing, of course, and he has been so developmental in his characters on the show. You know, it's really cool to see. And there's so many other people too. I just, you know, endless people I can thank. Mike from OK, thank you for coming on the show. It was great to have him on the show talking about Disney stuff and, you know, whatnot. You know, we had Sean Foster, who's doing his the horror god himself. He was talking about horror movies and starting up his YouTube show. And I was happy to, hopefully that helped him out and gets on his way. And there's so many other things and so many other people we have had on the show, and it was great to have them all. We had my friend Tim come on a couple of times to get, kind of help me with kind of giving the people who have never been to a pop culture convention or as from a family's point of view on, you know, how to prepare for those things. So a big shout out to Tim for always, you know, being so supportive of the show and being, you know, so willing to be a guest. You know, one of the things that I'm taken back at, a lot of the times when I reach out to people, hey, would you like to be on the podcast? Well, I've never done one, is one of the first things I'll hear, or what is entailed, how does it work? You know, all honesty, I tell people all the time, you know, as in the, or they'll ask me how long, you know, is it going to be? All honesty, I always leave that up to the guests, how long they're going to come on the show for. I always set the show up to the standard, you know, 2-hour block. So that way there, if we go for the full 2 hours, great. And if we don't, then I can probably fill it in with, you know, some other tidbits of things that I've encountered or whatever. But, you know, for the most part, what I've found in the last, anytime we've had guests is once they're on the show, they kind of feel that, you know, sense of relief. Cause you know, I talk to them like regular people cause they're regular people just doing amazing things. And it's just kind of goes, it flows better. You know, it's like having a conversation. As I tell them a lot of the times, I'll tell them, you know, think of it as you're having a conversation with someone you haven't seen in a long time and you're catching up on the phone. Just, you know, millions of people are listening worldwide on your conversation. Just forget about the people listening. And that's a joke to kind of relax them. But then ultimately, that's kind of what I want, you know. The reason why this podcast is called the F4L Headquarters is because, you know, back in the day, the ultimate dream when me and the other people who formatted the F4L was we'd have all of our F4L live in the same house. Yeah, it was, you know, remember we started the F4L when I was, you know, 16 still when the F4L was originated. And a lot of the other people, I mean, the I guess one of the co-founders was 2 years younger than me, and then everyone else was around the same ages as us. So, you know, it was really, you know, there was five of us originally who kind of formatted what the F4L would become. Since then, you know, I'm kind of the last of the Mohicans, so to speak. Unfortunately, due to tragedies and, you know, life and so forth, you know, I'm the last survivor, but I will not let that die, and I won't let, you know, the work that we've done fall, and the message I think we, you know, always wanted to do, I'll continue going. So I continue to talk about the F4L. I continue to promote what the F4L is, and I continue to give the F4L sign, which I gave to you the podcast screen, even though no one can see it. But that's kind of just how it is. It's engraved in me. My family lives the F4L lifestyle. A lot of people do, and that's awesome. But the idea initially was to have kind of a place for all of my friends, our close friends, which are our brothers, remember, and therefore a lifestyle, to come and kind of be themselves, hang out, have fun, you know, a social gathering. Everyone is welcome to be themselves and, you know, one of those places. Everyone's greeted with a hug and how you doing kind of a thing. A very warming and welcoming kind of a place, which is what we envisioned for the F4L headquarters, which is the actual physical place we wanted. And unfortunately, like I said, that never really came down to happen. But you know, when I did the podcast, I didn't think any better name for that would be this. So it's like a virtual version of what I want. So whenever I have people on the show, I want them to feel relaxed, regardless what they've done before, whether what they've had experiences somewhere else. And, you know, some people have done podcasts other places. Some people haven't. I have found that, you know, I seem to be a lot of people's first podcast, and I've got a lot of good feedback from people who enjoy being on this podcast. It was a good way to kind of, you know, welcome them into the whole podcast world. And I like to take some pride in that. And I like to hope that I helped them get their messages across and kind of utilize that if I could. And I'm going to bring a lot of those guests back on the show and welcome new ones, new guests to our headquarters to, you know, welcome in the new year with some new fresh faces and so forth to build the family even longer. So that's ultimately what we want. So, yes, a shout out to everyone who has been on this show and everyone who listens to this show, who knows. You guys know who you guys are, so I want to say thank you guys. You know, one of the things one of the people I really miss, if I'm going to be honest, way back when I started this podcast, there was another podcast that I was listening to. Now, yes, I listen to podcasts from other people because even though I have, you know, yes, I have a lot of experience in various different things. But as I tell my kids and everybody else, you never stop learning. And you can always, you know, take to learn something else. And I like to listen to other people's perspectives. The Father-Son Fist Bump podcast, for example, that was Austin and Gabe. They were on our show. They were on our YouTube wrestling show for a long time, and they're coming back, just so you guys know, to our wrestling show. And there's been I've just been waiting for the, you know, big return, which is probably going to happen sometime this summer for them. But, you know, I don't know. I know that they had some issues out there with, I guess, COVID had hit and stuff like that. And they're doing, last I heard, they were doing great. And they did do a couple podcasts after that. But I'm not going to lie. I feel like I miss hearing, you know, the Father-Son Fist Bump people and, you know, and also like, Okay, Thank You, who used to do a lot of things on their YouTube channel. And I get everything happens and life, you know, comes in. YouTube's like a secondary thing compared to real, as we call it, real life things. But it was kind of like around the same time period, we were all kind of growing as a whole. And just a quick shout out to all those people. If Gabe and Austin, Father Son Fist Bump, if you're listening, you know, I hope you guys are doing well. And I hope you guys are, you know, doing great. Last I had heard, Austin was running for class president. I don't even know if he won or not, but I can tell you that Austin on our wrestling show has been a MMA Grand Prix champion and a tag team champion, so and a U.S. champion. So there's that, and Gabe has held just as many titles on our show, and that's what we know of them. And eventually, hopefully someday, we'll get them on the podcast as well. I know we were trying to work something out and just fell through, unfortunately. Some other people like the Technical Work Rate Radio guys, they're from, they're on YouTube, but they also have their own podcast. And they're wrestling fans who talk realistically about wrestling and tell them blunt and honest, which I really respect. I, as you guys know, have been in the pro wrestling business for, I started wrestling in the wrestling business when I was just 18 years old, technically, when I walked into wrestling school for the first time. And I retired from in-ring competition in 2019. So it had been some time, but it doesn't mean I don't forget about any of those things or whatnot. So, you know, I kind of wanted to do, but it is kind of a cool thing. And I really wanted to, you know, go back and revisit a lot of those things and trip down memory lanes and things that spark a lot of these conversations and so forth. And, you know, I just hope everyone's doing well. And everyone who's been on the show, thank you. Everyone who, you know, we'll get them out here eventually. And the Technical Work Radio guys I was just talking about and putting over, they're on YouTube, like I said, Technical Work Rate Productions. They're on Twitter. They're wrestling fans who speak for the fans, but instead of speaking from the fans' point of view, they actually, you know, they're not like one of these people that think they know it all, but and they're blunt and they're honest. They don't accept whatever, you know, Meltzer tells them to do or whatever else. And I respect them for that. They have their own minds. They like wrestling for the same reason I got into pro wrestling. I think they're about my age. So I think that they have really developed a certain knack. Now, I know that their, you know, bluntness is probably not well thought of out in some places. But you know what? I respect that because I tend to be more blunt and honest as well. And I think that honesty is obviously the best policy. If your products stink in wrestling, you should be called out on that. I don't think it's okay to kind of go along with this, with the scenario that, okay, well, it's okay. We'll give it a pass. No, none of that past stuff. You earn your stuff, not other way around. So big shout out to those guys. Eventually they'll be on here, we hope. I'm also wanting to bring on, I think I did have her on the show once before, JC, who was one of the hosts of the Squared Circle Cafe. Had her on the show just before the game came out, which I'm going to talk about momentarily, talk about the WWE 2K22 game that I can give you guys a review on finally. We'll get into that in a little bit, but I just wanted to make sure you guys all know who's either been part of the show, who's going to be part of the show, who, you know, whatever. I want to let you guys all know I thank you guys for being part of the show, for making the show as awesome as it was. And I hope that, you know, your coming on the show is helpful to you guys, for those who have been on. And I hope you're welcome. You know, you're always welcome to come back anytime. The door is always open here at the headquarters. Just let me know. And, you know, going forward, I'm also going to have a lot more of these shows coming up because I think it's important. I think we are, again, falling into this thing where now we're talking about war again. And I think someone has to be a voice of reason somewhere. There has to be kind of a neutral thing. And I guess that's going to have to be me, I guess, because I'm the leader of the F4L. Love, care, and compassion, understand, and respect for each other's differences. Remember? And, you know, I don't normally get into political things. One of the things I was very adamant about when I first started this show was when referring to certain illnesses, I would never refer to that illness. I would never put that illness over. I would never, you know, talk about, you know, any of that stuff, because that's all that was on the news. That was all as though it was on the TV. And now we have the war. It's over in the Ukraine and between Russia. And, of course, that's putting a lot of hardships, a lot of people. And here's something I want to make sure people understand. What's really sad to me is that people need to understand that, like, political stuff aside, there are people on both sides who don't want any part of any of that. What I mean by that is, you know, people who are, you know, and I am supportive of everyone. I treat everyone equally. But I am prone to my F4L worldwide. And I have F4Ls who are both Ukrainian as well as Russian who live the F4L ways, which they don't have anything to do with any one of this stuff. I think what's sad is that this political stuff that caused this war, because that's what that ultimately was. There was a lot of political stuff that has caused these hardships. And that has impacted relationships and so forth in sports and has really impacted, you know, people of all ages in doing activities and so forth. It kind of villainizing people on both sides. And I think that's unfair and very disrespectful to the people who are not wanting to be part of either any of that, you know, war stuff. I can tell you that, you know, I have friends of mine who are, you know, Russian, and they live in Russia, and they're not supportive of any of this, and they want to just have sports again and be treated like, you know, regular, you know, they want to compete with their Ukrainian brothers who are fellow athletes. Politics, sports don't belong together. A friend of mine said that, and I'll give him props for that. That was Yasana Verkovits. He's our number 13. He's on our roster, in fact. He had said, you know, politics and sports should not be together. 100% accurate. He's a young football to him is soccer to us in the United States. He's a young football star over there. And we feature him on my show, on our show, on the YouTube show. And you know what? He's still on our show, and so is some other Russian people, as well as people from, you know, Ukraine, as well as people from, you know, all over the world, because they aren't part of any of this political stuff. They're not there to fight. They're not war people. They want to have, you know, be athletes. They want to continue with their dreams to be athletes, compete with the best of the best. And I think it's unfair, and a lot of things get lost in translation when they start kind of feeling that, you know, everyone's the enemy, and that's not the case. I want to make sure people know that. So I think that's important to realize. And in this time period, and I know with how media goes, with the news, I got to tell you, I have not watched a regular broadcast television in a very long time. The reason for that is because of all the sad news every day, when there's also good things that happen every day. And that's kind of why I do this show. That's ultimately why this show exists, because of that. There's too much negativity in the world, and it needs to stop. People need to be respected for doing whatever they're doing for the positive, not the negative. It's important to hold people accountable when it's necessary. I got to tell you, I've come to understand that the Boston Marathon, of course, I have a lot of ties to the Boston Marathon. I don't know if I ever spoke about this on the show or not, but a number of years ago, I was working for a day program with adults with mental illness, and we were actually at the Boston Marathon the day of the explosion that people like to talk about, that seems to be the only time people really kind of paid attention to the Boston Marathon. Even though athletes knew about the Boston Marathon for many years, that incident kind of red bolted that. I was a block away from the explosion going off. There was a couple, but I was a block away. And I remember the day very well, because a lot of people were running and hiding and scared. And it was a tragic scene. And I just remember not thinking and just running to see if I could help. And I ran towards where the explosions came from rather than away from them. I guess that was kind of my mother in me. That's something my mother would do a lot growing up. She would always like to interject in things when it had nothing to do with her. She would constantly get involved in scenarios or whatever she thought she should do. She would get involved and do what she could to help something or someone. So without thinking that day, I ran in to see if I could help. And, you know, I had to do some first aid and stuff like that to some people. It was a really rough scene that day, but fast forward to 2022, the people who perpetrated that have been accounted for and have been dealt with, and, or are being dealt with, one of them still. But in hindsight, I found out recently that the Boston Marathon Committee has decided not to welcome Russian athletes to run in the marathon. And I got to tell you, I'm American as American can be. I'm from Boston, and I understand every political thing. And I feel like when it comes to this, this is a sporting event that harnesses and that celebrates the essence of being an athlete, of being a competitive athlete, and that's nothing more than that. And this is we punished people for being athletes when it was their political leaders that should have been held accountable, not the athletes, who had nothing to do with anything that has to do with their political views. So that, I have to say, I disagree with. I disagree with the decision to not let them participate just because they're Russian. That's disrespectful, and that's un-American. We're about opportunity, and basically we did the opposite in this case because of the political leaders. We took what's going on, the political powers, out on athletes who had nothing to do with what their government does. no one said that, I guess I'm going to be that guy. So I did say that now. And I do, and if any Russian athletes are listening, I apologize. And if I come across as being disrespectful to people who are affected, please know that I'm sad for both parties. I'm sad for the people who are in Ukraine dealing with this, as well as everyone else. But sports and politics are separate, as well as entertainment is separate. And there's no place for all these things and people who have nothing to do with something else to be held accountable. That's wrong. And that's what I'm going to say about that, because someone had to, right? I guess I'll be that guy. And so for everyone, to the Ukrainian brothers, I want to let you guys know I'm sorry that you guys are going through everything, and my heart's broken for you guys. And I'm sorry for the Russian people who are caught in the middle and being kind of looked at as villains, when I know it's not all of you guys. Just know that I know that, and a lot of other people do too. And I have a lot of respect for people around the world, because that's what the F4L does. And this is just another scenario why, if people lived the F4L way, there wouldn't be no war. Because what would happen, in essence, would be, you know, if they had a disagreement, the two parties would sit down and talk it over, and they would come to an understanding, and they would respect each other's differences, and there would be no war. And that's how that works. Plain and simple. There's no reason for it. You know, that's how I feel about that. So we're going to move on, because this show is not about political stuff, but I did want to make that point across. Now, switching forward, I do want to try to get things in order here so I can do these in a custom way. Let's see. So, you know, some updates as far as I go. You know, let's do something fun. As we just talked to some heavy stuff right there. I just boned upon you guys, and I did the thanking everybody. Now, I want to let people know that I'm not a video game guy per se. I would much rather go out and play physical sports. When it comes to basketball and sports, there are kind of two kinds of athletes, right? The people who like to watch the games as a spectator, and then there's the ones who like the sports to get involved and like to play the sports. And I think anyone who's ever played a sport kind of knows what that feeling's like, right? And that's me. I personally have a hard time just sitting around and watching people play a game, and it makes me want to get up there and want to play a game. So video games are something that I did once in a while when I was younger, because I was more likely to be out playing sports. But once in a while, you need that kind of a release, I guess, and sometimes you need that kind of an escape from kind of everyday everything. And nowadays, no one likes to go out and play regular sports anyway. The other day, I was trying to play basketball, and good luck trying to find someone to play basketball with in real life. But, you know, you go on the PlayStation or Xbox, and everyone wants to play the NBA game. And you know what? I want to talk about the NBA right quick. We're going to talk about the NBA as well, as the playoffs are going on. And my son, the other half of Jasmine's son's Dream Masters, he's been getting heavily involved in the basketball again. He goes through these spurts. I'm wondering if other parents have this, where your kids will have an interest, and then, you know, every so often they'll switch that interest up for another interest. And they can just kind of rotate their interests over and over again. Like my son, he was heavily involved in NASCAR. He still likes all these things. I'm not saying he doesn't. It's just like he seems to go through these spurts where he's really heavily following, you know, NASCAR during NASCAR season. And then he's heavily following, you know, now basketball. He's not really a baseball fan. I don't really think he's a hockey fan either, for the most part. I like all sports. That's just me. But I know he's really heavy into basketball. He's actually gone to some games. Me and him have gone to a couple of the Celtics games this past, this year, actually. And, of course, the Celtics are in the playoffs, for those people who don't know. So it's, you know, so we have this ongoing thing where we've been discussing the, you know, the playoffs, because it's been a while since the Celtics have been there and whatever. and he's getting involved. Now, here's the difference between a wrestling fan and a sports fan. Now, we talk about – now, a lot of people like to talk about wrestling, right? Wrestling's fake is one of the biggest things people who don't like wrestling will say. Wrestling's fake. It's not real. Okay, cool. Let me tell you, from a wrestler's point of view, who's also a sports fan and someone who's done sports, something about the fan base of both. Sports fans are can be diehard, right? Sports fans, you know, if you're a baseball fan, you're a baseball fan. But here's the difference between a wrestling fan and a, you know, a sports fan. So there's an unwritten rule somewhere written that you have to cheer for the team that you are in the state of. But in reality, in pro wrestling, that's not a thing at all. You can like it, see, it's like this. So no matter what your state is, there's an unwritten rule somewhere that says that you have to follow the team in which you live in, your state or country or whatnot. In wrestling, we don't have that rule. You can cheer for whoever you want who comes from anywhere, and they're just as respected as anyone else. And I guess that's what's different between a wrestling fan and a sports fan, right? If you're a baseball fan, you might be a diehard Yankee fan or a diehard Red Sox fan. You can't go in the same building sometimes without them fighting over each other. Guess what? I'm not a fan of either one. I'm from Boston. I respect the Red Sox, just like I respect the Yankees, but my team's was the Cleveland Indians, which they changed the name of the Indians to the Gladiators, I want to say. Don't get me started, and I don't know if they're going to change the name of the Braves or not, but by the way, my Braves won the World Series last year, just saying. Congratulations to them again, so thank you to them. But the Braves and the Indians have run my team for years, and I've supported those teams. But that doesn't mean I don't cheer for the Red Sox once in a while. Or, you know, I respect all the other teams, but I'm not going to sit there and badmouth one team over another, because wrestling has taught me that it's okay for me to like anyone who I choose to like as a fan. As long as I am supporting the sport, the genre, whatever, who cares who I like? And I think if you're a sports fan, I think, who likes to talk about, you know, being realistic and da 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 da, I got to tell you, let's look at the NBA, for example. I got to tell you this. This is something I've noticed. I grew up in the 80s, and my team, by the way, for those people wondering, are the Chicago Bulls, who, by the way, got eliminated. Just want to point that out. Actually, the Bulls lost to my son's favorite team, which is the Bucks. So there's that. That doesn't mean I don't like the Celtics. I like the Celtics just as much. I like the Utah Jazz. They're out as well, by the way. But, I mean, what is what it is, right? But at least you can have the backups, right? In wrestling, we don't, you know, we cheer for whoever we like to. See, you can, it's acceptable for me to cheer from someone who lives in California, who lives in Canada, who lives in another country. That's okay in wrestling. But in some, there's some hidden rule in sports that you're not allowed to do the same thing if you're a sports fan. What is that about? Why is that a rule? Why can't you support who you want to root for without someone else judging you? What if you live in a place where your teams are absolute trash, or you have a person on the team who doesn't hold values that you find endearing? You're supposed to support that team. And that player, even though he might not, you don't agree with anything he does or likes, or you don't like that team's ethics, or they're utter nothing, they don't contribute to anything, and they're basically wasting tax money just keeping an open ball field open, or whatever the case may be. Why is it that that's acceptable to that? That's a real sport, right? But yet, a sports fan is a wrestling fan are the weirdos, right? I don't see why, if I live in Boston, I can't cheer for you know, the Indians and the Braves without someone from Boston giving me a hard time. I didn't say I didn't like the Red Sox. I said I liked the other teams better. And I'm from Boston. I don't like the New England Patriots. I like the Dallas Cowboys. Don't live in Texas. But I like the work ethic. I like what they produce. Yeah, they haven't won a Super Bowl in forever and whatnot, but I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan. Whatever. But here in Boston, people get rabid about that. Oh, this is Patriots country. No. This is Massachusetts or New England. The Patriots are just a team that is here. That doesn't make me want to cheer for them. So there's that, right? Let's be real, people. If you seriously have to give someone a hard time over what sports teams they like, you really have nothing better to do with your time. Seriously. Just go in to watch the games and have a good time. That's what I'm going to give you for a tip of the day. If you go to a game, like for me, for example, I might not be a huge – just because my teams are the Indians and the Braves doesn't mean I won't go to a Red Sox game once in a while. Why do I do that? Well, one, because I respect the Red Sox still. Yankees are still good, and it's a good time. It's a good family outing. You get to go out there. You get to see, you know, you get to be amongst other, you know, fans. You get to get all of the kind of the live atmosphere. You get to sing your Sweet Caroline if you're from Boston, which is, you know, a customary thing around here. If you're not around here, then you have no idea what I'm talking about. But we're kind of famous for it. But that's something that I enjoy. Doesn't mean I, you know, want to, you know, root for them all the time. But it is what it is. So my son cheers for the Bucks. I cheer for, well, my Bulls got eliminated, so now I guess I'll cheer for the Celtics. And oddly enough, my Celtics are playing his Bucks in the next thing. And oddly enough, it was my Bulls that played his team and the to get there. So this is how this is shaping up to be in the NBA playoffs. And then, of course, on the other side of things, and I got to say this, I do follow sports here and there. I am still, you know, I still like sports and stuff, so I do keep track of things. You know, and a lot of people in New England are talking about, you know, Giannis and the Bucks and the Celtics and all this stuff. You can't sleep on the West teams, and I think that's something I haven't heard a lot of people talking about that yet. If you watch the brackets like I did, I'm a numbers guy, and I go by statistics a lot, and I stand by a lot of those things, and I believe that there's realistic things there because you can't fake math. Math is a real thing because it's like science. Science is real too. But in this case, for example, when I was watching that, you know, in the East, it was clear which team was better than who. The West, if you watched a lot of those games, they were pretty neck and neck. They were competitive, and they were hard-hitting. By the way, shout-out to Jackson R. Scott out of Philly, because his Phoenix Suns have advanced as well, and they're playing in the finals as well. My son seems to think, by the way, that it's going to be, of course, this would be him. He believes it's going to be a repeat from last year. It'll be the Bucks and the Suns in the finals, so if the prodigy is listening somehow, know that my son has predicted that your team will be with his team in the end for the finals. I am not so sure about that, however. I don't think I agree with his reasoning. I think he's going by, one, he likes the bowl. He likes the Bucks. He likes specifically, he likes Giannis Antetokounmpo. He likes the kind of laid-back, kind of humble attitude that Giannis seems to have. I guess that's kind of what he's drawn to. That being said, flipping around to this, but if I'm going to be honest, the team that I would worry about is not either one of those teams. I would worry more about Golden State Warriors because I watched their series and they swept the Nuggets out of the playoffs. And I said, if they're going to get into that mode again, then everyone's going to watch out. And I think that's the team everyone has to worry about is the Golden State Warriors, not so much the Bucks, the Bulls, and whatnot. So all honesty, I don't know if anyone who's followed basketball over the last several years knows that there was a long time period where the Golden State Warriors were the champions multiple years in a row. The Bucks just won a championship last year. The Celtics won a championship. Last time they won one was in 2008. I was there for that one. So, you got to look at those numbers. But as far as the brackets go, I am going to look this up for you guys as I'm doing this. As my good friend, or my mentor, Jim Cornette says, I'm going to pull up my Google machine and look this up for you guys and let you guys know where the standings are exactly. Today is game one here in New England, by the way, as the Bucks and the Celtics are going to have game one. Also, game one today is the Grizzlies and the Warriors, which I can tell you this. My son did predict that the Grizzlies would go forward as well as Memphis. Hold on a minute. Give me a second here, folks. So my son did predict that the Grizzlies would advance, as well as he already called his team, of course, because he would have to, right? So there's that. I can tell you that the game's going on right now. It's in Boston, and I can give you the update right now. And the Bucks are up 70-63 in the third quarter. So if my son's listening, which he's probably not because he's working, which he should be, That's what's going on with the playoffs right there. But also happening today is the Warriors and the Grizzlies, which he did predict that was going to happen. I'm pulling up the playoff schedule here. But I got to tell you, the Golden State Warriors, I think, are the team that everyone should really be worried about because there was a long time period that they went undefeated. And they win countless of the games, like back-to-back. So I think that's something that people should pay attention to because it doesn't sound like it's going to be a cakewalk by any means. The other part was all of the games on the West Coast, it seemed, so people who are not basketball fans, let me just break this down for 1 second for you guys. Those people aren't basketball fans. The division is kind of broken into the East and the Western Conference. And then there's about, a few in the kind of middle, right? So the East Coast Conference, right, you have four teams, just like in the Western Conference, which is the opposite. Kind of like the, NFL, you have the AFC champions and the NFC champions, right? Or something like that. This is kind of how it goes right now. This is who's in these finals right now. So we got it's the Miami Heat and the Philadelphia Phillies. The Philadelphia 76ers are in one series in the East Coast. Also in the East, as we just went over, the Bucks and the Celtics. And this is game one. So, again, they do this best of seven thing, which I got to say, I feel like that's one thing football's got right. I think that if you're playing a sports game, it should be at the most 2 out of 3. I think there's no reason to have 7 games in a series to prove who the better team is. You don't need that. I think you have at the most 3 games is all you need. One team wins. If another team wins, great. If it doesn't win, then you go forward. That's how that should go. End of story on that one. But anywho, I think that's ultimately how they think that it runs into, but they make it longer and harder than it needs to be. On the opposite side, Jackson R. Scott's Phoenix Suns are taking on the Dallas Mavericks, and the Golden State Warriors are taking on the Memphis Grizzlies. That's the other side of things. And if you watch those other games, the Golden State Warriors swept the Nuggets, no issues there. I knew that when I saw that the Nuggets couldn't do much to stop that, that's the team I said everyone's got to worry about because they're going back into that mode again. But the Memphis Grizzlies and the Dallas Mavericks, the thing about their games is a lot of people aren't realizing is that those games went to the last game and they were high scoring games. So this is something that New England, see, in the East Coast, we didn't have that in any of the playoffs. It was kind of dead even. The Celtics, you know, dominated the team they played. The Bucks, unfortunately, you know, took most of the games from the Bulls. The Bulls were able to take one game. The Boston did the same. So Boston swept their team, so Boston went right over. So that's kind of what my prediction is. Who I think is going to be in the finals, you know, that's hard to say. I think the thing to remember is in any sport, anyone can be beaten anytime. It's all about who wants it more, who's willing to go the extra difference, and who can work as a team. That's ultimately what's going to come down to. And that is kind of what I think the basketball, a lot of these sports things have failed recently to realize or remember, is that you have a team sport that you're part of, yet you think you're the only person on the team. I've noticed that in these basketball games. There's a certain person, there's certain people on each team that you have to get the ball to that person. He's going to take care of it, whether it be LeBron James, Steph Curry of the Golden State. LeBron James is not even in it, by the way. The Lakers are out. Why aren't the Lakers in there? Because they've devolved so much time over LeBron James. One person cannot beat 10 other people in retrospect. That's reality of it. And when you have a team that bases all of their success over one player versus the team working together, you're going to put your team at a disadvantage. That's ultimately how that works. And that's from my years playing sports, mostly team sports, all team sports, actually. That's realistically how that goes. And if you're not working as a team for the same kind of goal, then you're going to fail. If you're a person who just wants the big payouts, you want to be the one who gets the highlight reel, you want to be the one with the Nike Reebok deal and forget your teammates, yeah, you're going to be very successful in your shoe endeavors, but your team is going to fail. And eventually, you're going to be seen as just the guy who takes a paycheck and not delivering the goods, if you know what I mean. That's reality of it. And that's the in-your-face response that you should hear, because that's what you're, you know, talking. That's what that is. In the 80s, when at the height of the kind of the Celtics and the Lakers war, which I think there's a whole documentary series about it now, which my wife and I are planning on a watch. But back in those days, if you watched the game of the old Celtics or the, you know, all those teams from the 80s and even the 90s, they were all about getting, you know, passing the ball, making sure the ball was touched. At least six people touched the ball before you threw the ball. That was an old tactic they did a lot. Now, the generational thing has ruined that for today's society. I'll tell you how I know this. Me and my son will play the game, the basketball game, because I remember how it goes and because that's how you do play a game. You pass the ball around. And I usually beat my son because he doesn't know who the ball is going to and when, where my son, you know, he throws the ball to one person and, you know, runs, goes, gets the dunk. Well, they're good. The dunk's worth 2 points. My three-point shot that I am throwing all over the place to just do you all on the loop is worth more than your two-point shot. That's kind of how that works, see? And that's kind of how, when I play, that's kind of how I'll do it. I usually have the ball passed at least three times before I even shoot the ball. That's reality, how it should be anyway. That's sports. I want to give you guys a review on the WWE 2K22. I had JC on the show just before it came out. Now, JC is the host of the Squared Circle Cafe alongside with my wife, and does a lot of these video game stuff. She plays the video games, and I'm going to be completely honest with you guys. Up until this game came out, I've never actually played a video game on the wrestling thing. That is not a work. That is not a lie. That is not just something I'm trying to put something over. That's reality. I've never actually played the game. Have I built people? Yes, I can do that. No problem. I've been building people for years. No problem. I can book a show. That I can do. I can call a match. No issues. I can build different match styles. I can build anything. As far as actually playing the game, not so much. not so much in that aspect. But I think what's important to a couple things for me. So I'm going to start this off with, I'm going to, you know, put aside my personal feelings with the certain companies I'm working with that are giving me a headache at the moment. It's not WWE and it's not 2K. Although I got to say, the last game that they came out with, the 2K22, they had a lot of backlash. And when this game came out, it had a lot of eyes on it. And I think when it came out, people wanted to either really hate it and they were looking for anything to make it look like it was going to fail, or they were so desperate for a good product, they would overlook anything, just desperate to get something better. Now, leading up to the game's release, I've seen many other YouTubers talking about it, many other people talking about the game and all these updates. And they didn't have a lot of information before they released it. And that was something that, you know, to me is a little bit interesting because they've had 2 years to build this game. Every year, WWE 2K would put out a game. Usually it's around the holidays because that's their money. That's how they make their money, the, you know, different entities or whatever. That's how they make their money around the holidays, which is why it's usually released around November. So that's like the hot Christmas gift that year. You know what I mean? That's what that's really for. But because of how horrible 2022 is, and I'm going to tell you that directly, that was awful. I don't play the game. I'm glad I don't play the game doing that. But I can tell you this, just to try to do my show with the 20 was absolutely, it was just very tough. I couldn't really do melees, which, you know, a couple times a year, once a year we have our random melee palooza, which is a giant melee. And to do those kinds of things and, you know, hope that the game would not crash was a thing in 2020, the game I'm talking about. And there was all kinds of glitches and problems and whatnot. And I kid you not, one time a friend of mine said, oh, I didn't know they had problems. I said, oh, no, watch this. I knew that, you know, on YouTube there was, you know, a compilation of, you know, the what they call glitches, because I'm not even a tech guy, so I don't even know the game terms. But my son and whatnot will help me with those kinds of things. But these glitches were so bad that, you know, people would make these compilations of them, compiled different videos. Now, if you guys ever watch those compilation videos for anything else on those channels, sometimes once in a while you'll see kind of the same clip in the clip somewhere else in the, down the road in the same kind of bracket. Oh, no. I watched two to show my friend how bad this was. Two of these, they were each an hour long of glitches. Not one of the same glitches was shown in either one of the videos. That's horrendous. So needless to say, when 2022 is coming out, I just wanted a product that I could build with initially that could, you know, not have to worry about it crashing on a regular basis. So I could do the weekly shows like I'm supposed to. And thankfully, knock on wood, I have tested it, and at times it does crash. I'm not going to lie to you. And there are some other glitches here and there. But for the most part, it's not terrible. For the review part of it, because you got to remember, I've never played the actual game until this year. And the reason I'm playing the game, oddly enough, is out of my wife's orders. My wife says, you know, you always get these games, you never actually play it. Play the game. So I guess I had to listen to my wife, so I'm always said to play the video game, so I had to. So they had some features also that I thought was kind of interesting. They have a GM mode, which prior to that, because I never played the actual games before, just built the people and did the matches, I didn't know that was a thing back in the day. That sounds like it could have been fun. They have a GM mode that they brought back, apparently, and to me it's new because I never did it before. And you know what? People like the fact at first it was just for the singles titles, the one male title, one female title. And basically the way it works is you're given a certain amount of money. I think it's like $2.7 billion, $1 million to book your show. And with that, you have to hire your talent, you know, do all your special effects, you know, your camera, your crew, whatever. So they really kind of give you the feel of what it's like to actually book a wrestling show. That aspect I like and I appreciate because I had to do that in real life. So it helps me. I got an edge in doing that, so it helps. But, of course, the budget thing I didn't necessarily have to worry about. That was someone else's department there because it was too big of a department for me to worry about it. My job was more the creative aspect and the formatting and whatnot. So anyway. But the GM mode people didn't like because at first they just had the, you know, basically what it is you have your brand and you pick, you know, whether it be Raw, SmackDown, UK, NXT UK or NXT regular, which is their brands, WWE. And you would have to pick one of those brands and you'd pick one brand to go against. And then you'd have a GM, again, my GM, where you can actually have yourself or your own GM, or you can pick, you know, one of the other people who are GMs, they feature and they have different kind of what they can and can't provide. I'm going to be honest with you guys. I have normally in every time I've played it so far, I've only done it as either one of my cause, because to me, I feel like that's the best. This works the best. And if it's, you know, if it's like, for example, my mother who I book as the GM, then I'll pick one of the females to be the GM against. If it's, you know, a male, then it's going to be probably Adam Pearce, just because it's fun. And that's usually how that works. I usually go with also the kind of the, you know, whatever the secondary show to that show would be, is what my opponent would be. And you know what? I don't have a problem with the only having the two titles, because on our shows, on our YouTube shows, for the most part, we try to keep our titles small, because here's the thing. WWE is one company, Raw, SmackDown, UK, and NXT, right? You have four shows, theoretically. That means what WWE does is they give each of those shows their own set of, like, 20 titles, right? But if you have a roster of the same, you know, people over and over again, and you have so many titles, there's nothing worth fighting over. It makes the titles less special. It takes away, you know, when you have so many titles, you can just put one on someone just because you can. That takes away the importance of being a champion. That's just, you know, well, you can have a title just because we have them, right? In order to be a champion, you should earn that. You should, you know, whatever you got to do. So I don't have an issue with the fact that they have one or two titles. They just recently added the tag team titles, which I've been able to utilize. And you know what? Okay. It's fun. You know, ultimately, that is all you need for championships. You need a male title if you're going to have females, and a female title, and then you need a tag team title. That's traditionally what any wrestling company should have. You don't really need any other titles outside of that. Now, on our show, for example, on our shows on YouTube, our shows have a main title, a tag team title, and a women's title. I do have, because we have, you know, like, for example, one of our, you know, if we have a U.S. title, we need to have a European champion because, you know, we have to, you know, make sure it's fair for everyone, has an opportunity. So that's why there's two championships there. So that's why there's a secondary title on each show for that reason. On Fridays is where both the BA championship, which is our current champion, of course, no surprises, the Prodigy Jackson R. Scott still, who no one seems to like to beat, no one seems to be able to beat, as always. And then, of course, the other title on that show is the MMA Grand Prix Championship, which is like our MMA title. Actually, before I go into that further, I did want to announce something right quick before I completely forget. And I want to let people know I did a survey online on the various social media platforms, and I asked people for the YouTube show, what kind of a every year we do these tournaments. We have, you know, various different ones. We have the Team Warfare Challenge that's coming up this summer. But we also, you know, like to do a tournament once in a while and ask people what they wanted to see. If they wanted to see an MMA tournament, if they wanted to see, you know, some other type of thing. And the overwhelming response was that's what they wanted to see. So allow me to make that announcement that coming up, I'm going to be starting to put together and plan for the Dream Masters MMA Grand Prix championship tournament, I guess, where we're going to have all of our best MMA fighters, which some of them are tag team guys and some of them are family members. But what we're going to do is we're going to make it an even platform, an even playing field, and basically, like any other tournament, you can only be one, right? So what we're going to do is we're going to have that coming up probably in June, I'm thinking. We're going to have an MMA, the first ever Dream Masters, possibly the Women Warriors of Wrestling's first ever MMA Grand Prix title tournament, where we'll have all of our MMA fighters face each other, and the winner will be crowned the MMA Grand Prix champion. So pretty cool stuff. And of course, if you guys are wondering who is going to be involved in that, if you watch our shows on a regular basis, you kind of have an idea of who the MMA people are, the people who are trained in martial arts, the people who are, you know, kind of those competitors in real life and in fictitious. Some names involved in this tournament will be the Odell Boys, as well as the Switzerland Fight Club. The Odell Boys are currently Mason and Ty Odell are currently the Dream Masters BA Tag Team Champions. But for this tournament, that's not how that's going to work, because this is a singles tournament, which means that it could come down to it at one point that the brothers might have to face themselves. Could be interesting, too. And for those people who ever wondered who was tougher. And the same thing goes for brothers like the Stritzels, as well as the Mina Boys, who are also MMA competitors. Who else? Leo the Bull Curtis will be involved with that one. I think the return of Ro Ninja, who has been out from injury, who will be returning for the MMA Grand Prix tournament. So Ro Ninja Swanson will be returning for that. And, you know, a couple other people around the way will be added as well. So pretty much anyone, if you guys know your MMA fighters, and you know you're on our show, you should probably plan on seeing you guys involved in this tournament. And because it's going to be featured in the MMA rules, the stipulation is you have to have some type of martial art training in order to participate. So, I mean, boxing, we could probably let that fly. But if you're someone who, you know, isn't necessarily known for your martial arts per se, then unfortunately, you're probably going to be excluded, or if you don't have any kind of documented background in martial arts, you'll be excluded. But anyone else, it is open to. And I can tell you that there may be a few people that you might not know are trained in martial arts, like our current social media champion for the Dream Masters, JoJo Sebastian, is trained in karate. So he could probably take place in the tournament. The icon Sean Jazz Stevens is also trained in martial arts. Shap Awesome, also trained in martial arts since I trained him. And, you know, there's some people like that. So make sure you guys stay tuned to this show and my social media. I'll give you guys updates on that. And if I reach out to you guys will know why and whatnot. So that should be fun. And, of course, this summer we'll be having our annual Team Warfare match, Team Warfare Challenge, where we it's the duo and team challenge. We open up to everything. So everyone always wonders who the greatest two whatever is, you know, the Batman and Robin scenario. Well, we're going to put that to a test as we're going to have all of these amazing duos battle it out, as we always do every summer. We call that the Dream Masters and Women Warriors of Wrestling Open Tag Tournament. So which should be interesting to see the teams involved and whatnot. I know the Simpsons are going to be part of that. The Hall of Famers, by the way. I could also let people know that thanks to the booking of both myself and Jackson R. Scott, that the match has been signed, and I'm going to have to wait on making the official announcement, but looks like Team Jackson, or the Prodigies, I should say, is going to be taking on the Hall of Fame team. Of course, the team captains are Jackson R. Scott, who is the captain of the Prodigies. Of course, his team consists of himself, Sean Jazz Stevens, his co-host, Aaron Rodgers from the Green Bay Packers, and The Undertaker from WWE, Hall of Famer. Of course, on the opposite side of the spectrum, which are the Hall of Famers, that team consists of the Hall of Famer for us, Homer Simpson, Ash Ketchum, a surprise entry, which is going to be interesting, and, of course, last but not least, Tom Brady. Yes, indeed. Interesting stuff. So that should be a fantastic, card lineup or whatnot. That's a main event. That's a tag match. That's not involved in the MMA thing, but just to give you guys a heads up what's coming on there. I have a lot of stuff I've been going, have been getting ready to go and do as far as projects go. Those of you guys who don't know, I've been working on the Dollar Baby project for a little while. I have actually just gave myself even more work recently by actually giving my, I actually believe by giving myself more work, it'll actually make my original work better. More on that later. My stage play is done and written, so I'm excited about that, and hopefully soon I'll be able to talk to you more about that stuff. Also, a couple other things I want to let you guys know. Jack and Tim, the Lucky Ones, are in the U.S., and they are currently touring on the East Coast. I believe they're in Virginia today. And by the way, a quick happy birthday to our good friend Tim. Today, Tim, actually yesterday was Tim turned a certain age, and I've been there, done that, and he looks to be fantastic. He's having a great time, and I want to say a quick happy birthday to him, Tim, of the Lucky Ones. But yes, they are here in the United States, and they're currently touring all over the East Coast. They're originally from the UK, so this is kind of new environment for them. So hopefully my fellow Americans will make them feel nice and warm. And I know we are. I know we'll make them feel right at home like we usually like to, especially when you start down the South. They tend to be more, a little bit more friendly down that way. But Jack and Tim, we'll see you guys when you come up to the North Shore, and we'll get you guys some real coffee and whatnot. Show you how the Dunkin' Donuts world works. But anyway, I wanted to say that. And what was the other thing I was going to say before I said that? I tell you, I have so many things. But anyway, a lot of things going on. A lot of the F worlds are doing big things. Go check out all my former guests on our show. They're all doing their own individual things. So there's that and, whatnot. I'm probably going to cut this show literally just because I feel like I've given you guys quite a bit already. And I feel like I don't want to overwhelm you guys with a lot of stuff. So, I just want to make a few more points, and then I'll let you guys enjoy the rest of your Sunday, wherever you are, or whatever you're doing. But my overall reaction to the WWE 2K22 game goes like this. I really enjoy the GM mode. I don't have an issue with it not having so many titles. I think having too many titles on a show makes the titles less important. It takes away from the talent. It kind of, if you can only have 8 people on a roster and, 4 or 5 of them are champions, what is everyone else working for? So that's kind of the way I look at that. Less titles means more opportunities and more importance. Facts. On top of that, what else do I want to let you guys know? Oh, I want to let you guys know, I just saw The Northman recently, and I'm going to have a more review on that later. I want to kind of get my thoughts together for that one, because it's going to be, I want to make sure it's done. I want to make sure I give you guys a proper scenario, because I'm still kind of going back and forth about how I want to present my overall review of that movie. It was, by the way, overall, I can say it was good, but it is what it is. As far as the Rui game, going back to that, just to finish that up, GM mode's good. I don't have the my faction thing. I feel is just a money grab. Honestly, I don't think it's any necessary. I don't think it's very effective. You can't play with anyone at that mode, like you can the like the NBA games or anything like that. You can play the other. You can play the game cross brand, which is the first time ever, which is awesome. So technically, I can play the game with someone who's playing Xbox or whatever. By the way, for those people wondering, so I'm thinking about switching, by the way. So people who are Xbox fans, let me know what your initial reactions are to Xbox. Should I switch from PlayStation to Xbox, and what are the pros versus the cons? Because I've never owned an Xbox. I've only had a PlayStation. And if you guys were going to, you know, suggest why I should switch to Xbox, now's your point to let me know. Send me an email at wowdreammatches@gmail.com. I'd love to hear your feedback on that. What is better, the PlayStation or the Xbox, and why? So there you go. That's a good one. Put you guys, let's see what you guys have to say. Also, I want to let you guys know, I'm currently reading a book right now. It's one of Stephen King's newest books called Later. What a great book this is so far. I can't really, I don't want to give you guys a full review yet because I'm not done reading it. It's a great book, though, I can tell you that. I read the first half the book in one day already, so it's very captivating. You know, it's kind of Stephen King's take on, you know, The Sixth Sense in a way. Is later if I was going to compare it to something, the scenario. But it's a fantastic book. I really suggest it's called Later. I can't suggest so far I've read it. I would suggest this so far. It's called Later, Stephen King's newest book. One of those newest books. I thought it was great so far. I'm not done with it yet. And when I'm completely done with it, I'll give you guys a full review on that, as well as I'll give you a review on Northman and some other things too. I'm also looking forward to the new book, the new movie, The Black Phone, that's going to be coming out. It's a horror movie that's been pushed back. This has seemed to be a trend that all these movies that seem to be really good keep getting pushed back. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. I guess we'll have to wait and see. Yeah, so that's going to be this there. I also wanted to say I'm going to have some new TV reviews for you guys next time, too, because I found a new show I think you guys should know about. Also remember that The Walking Dead is going to be ending soon with no real final date apparently in mind. And, of course, also Monster Mania, the Monster Mania convention run by Dave Hagen and the Hagens in general, will be coming back in August as well as September and in October. And me being an active member of the roster, I am part of that team, so I will see you guys there as well. Come say hi to Dave and all the fantastic people and all of the awesome guests and get some trinkets or whatever at these awesome events. August is in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. And September in is in Hunt Valley, Maryland for the one in September. And then in October is in Oak, Pennsylvania. So that should be fun. That's his newest one. I've never even been to Oak, Pennsylvania. So that's the first time for me. So we'll talk about those when they come back to it. We'll probably get to have Dave on this show as well and many others. Anyway, folks, I'm going to just do the usual wrap-ups right now, and then that way they get you guys wanting to have more later. I am your host, the F4L icon, Sean Jazz Stevens. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on Instagram at, I always have to look at my thing. Does anybody else do this? You guys know it off the top of your head. I feel like I should know it off the top of my head, but I never do. All right. It's Sean Jazz Stevens on Instagram, on the world of grams, or the F4L icon, Sean Jazz Stevens, all one word. And you can, probably the one you want to use, the F4L icon, that's F as in, and obviously you guys know what an F is. F4 is in the letter, as in the number rather. F4, the number, L, lowercase, obviously. And then icon, I-C-O-N-E, I-O-C, I'm okay. I-C-O-N, And then my first name, Sean, SeanJJazzSteven1. That is my original one. I do have an alternate account now because I had some issues not long ago. And I believe the other one is active, and I don't go to it. It is what it is. But you can find me there on Instagram. You can reach out to me on email if you'd like to be a guest on the show, or if you'd like to chat more. You can email me at wowdreammatches, DREAMMATCHES, at gmail.com. You can hear this show here. You can hear it on Spotify, on iTunes, and there where you can hear your awesome podcasts. We will be having some guests on eventually soon. You can find us on YouTube and watch all of the excitement on our YouTube page, Icons of the F4L, which is what our YouTube page is, is Icons of the F4L. On YouTube. And you can reach me on Instagram, well, not Instagram, on Twitter for the time being, but I'm probably going to be leaving soon, folks. I'm not going to lie to you. I barely use Twitter anyway. I left Facebook for those people who don't know. I am not on Facebook, so just know that, but I'm probably going to be leaving Twitter eventually soon too. But I am on Twitter as of right now under Sean, SeanJazz, SteVens, all one word. Anyway, folks, I am your host with the most, the icon, Sean Jazz Stevens, saying may all your dreams come true. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Have a great week ahead, and we'll see you soon. Peace, everybody.